And good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. Good morning, listeners. Wonderful to have your company here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 for our regular Thursday morning Community Conversations program. This morning, we're trialling something different. We always like doing different things here. And so we're trying the idea of a panel. It's a lot easier, of course, on Zoom these days. And I want to say a big congratulations to all of us who have survived, well, the many weeks of lockdown. It's been such a long haul, hasn't it? And well done, each and every one of you. And I know we're all looking forward to, shall we say, stretching our legs a little bit in the coming days. So that's fantastic. The idea of a panel is that we have the collective wisdom of more than just one guest, but a panel of people. And this morning, I have been able to bring together a panel of champions who are champions around community. So there you go. And they all have, they're wearing different hats and have worn different hats over the years. And I'll introduce them in a moment. But it's wonderful to be able to have a conversation around what is the essence of community. It's never been more important in these COVID times that we're all challenged with at the moment. So let me do a quick introduction and then we'll say hello to each and every one of them. So firstly, we've got Kath Ganaway, known to many of you, I'm sure, as a former journalist, a community bank director, a member of the Toastmasters community, the Yarra Rangers Film Society. The list goes on and on, Kath, so I'm going to stop there. For Karen Fox, of course, Community Radio, the amazing Karen Fox, who is, well, at the moment, involved in the Radiothon, which we're going to hear a little bit more about later as well, but has also been involved in Yarva, Yarra Valley Arts, and fundraising and supporting community groups all over the valley. So well done, Karen. We've got Megan Buntine. Megan, of course, is known to some of you as a semi-regular here on Yarra Valley FM. She is, has been involved, was instrumental in setting up Rivers and Ranges Community Leadership Program, has served on the District Hospital Board at Alexandra, a stalwart for the empowerment and capacity building of not-for-profit organisations. So that's Megan. And finally, Lindsay Frost. Well, where do we start with Lindsay? Champion of Healesville Lions Club, a community vineyard consortium. We're going to talk a little bit about that. That'll be interesting. Has an amazing, well, at the moment, it's on ice, but a comedy show here on Yarra Valley FM, and was involved in a number of initiatives around the Healesville community. Lindsay's probably the newest on the panel to the Yarra Valley community, so we're going to ask him about that as well. So, Kath, Karen, Megan, Lindsay, myself, and of course we've got Cora here as our producer. I'm going to just whet the appetite and see if we can do this on Zoom. I would like each of you, without notice, to give us one or two words that come to your mind when we think of or say the word community. Let's start with you, Kath.
I guess the words I would use are support and just togetherness.
Great. Karen?
Healing the people.
Megan?
Yeah, people was what I was thinking too.
And Lindsay?
It's probably the next level out from family in terms of what's important.
Fantastic. And the word that came to my mind as I thought about preparing for this program was belonging, is part of that as well. Lindsay, let's start with you. As I just alluded to, you're relatively new to the Healesville Yarra Valley community. I think it's about six or seven years, something like that. And I remember one of the things you said to me in relocating here to the Yarra Valley was that it was important to you that you were moving into a community. So the two questions I'd like to throw to you are, what did that look like when you were looking? What were you looking for? And secondly, did you find it?
Well, it's easy in one sense, Bruce, in that I have been coming up to the Yarra Valley and the Healesville District specifically since I was a small child. It was I am sufficiently old where guest houses were things you used to do, particularly on your school holidays. So I was no stranger to the place. When I was approaching retirement, I started to think about what lifestyle am I looking to have going forward, and the idea of a village lifestyle was particularly appealing to me. And I've always preferred the bush over the beach, so it was a fairly natural thing to do. And given the emotional bond I already had with Healesville, it became a pretty easy choice.
Fantastic. And have you found that sense of community? I know you've got heavily involved over those last 6 or 7 years, and have you found that sense of community since you've been here?
I have found it in spades, Bruce. Actually, it's my wife Kerry and I just look back and say, it was a great choice, and it remains a great choice. Fantastic. And we've actually become a hub for an expanding immigration process of family members who have followed us up here as well.
Very good, very good. Megan, you're a little further up the valley at Narbathong. Lindsay's already just mentioned the word village here, and I'm wondering whether in a smaller community, whether the sense in a smaller should we say geographic a smaller population base, is the sense of community, is it different? Is the community closer naturally? Your thoughts about that?
It's interesting. Here at Buxton,
I always get that wrong.
No, that's okay. It strikes me as odd that we're considered part of the Yarra Valley. We actually have the Yarra Valley tourism sign just out the highway near our place. So we're sort of the upper reaches, I guess. But I still feel like part of the extended sort of Healesville Yarra Valley community. Also, we have like our own little what we call the triangle here, which is Buxton, Narbathong, Marysville community. And I think that was particularly important to us post February 2009 after the bushfires.
Sure.
Everybody really came together. And I guess having come to this area 20 years ago now, from the city and the suburbs, it was a different experience of community to what I was used to down in town. I mean, often it wasn't necessarily your neighbours that were your community. It was your friends who were in the next suburb, perhaps, or on the other side of town. It's been really interesting up here experiencing community from a different perspective. And I guess from I've always been involved with community in terms of local organisations, getting involved as a member, sitting on committees, boards, that sort of thing. But really, even more so from a work perspective, since we've come up here, really immersing myself in that community and seeing it from a different angle. And I think a big part of that was, as you mentioned when in the introduction, being part of the Rivers and Ranges community leadership establishment and really getting a sense of the importance of community and networking people and connecting people and that sort of thing.
Fantastic. Kath, you have been involved in so many community groups. You've reported and written articles on groups, on organisations. I've had the pleasure of reading many of those. I'm interested in your experience. What do you see as some of the hallmarks of the stronger communities, the stronger organisations that you've seen? I mean, recently we were talking about Lyrebird College, for example, weren't we? What is it that makes what are those hallmarks? What are those things that you think, yeah, that's a strong community organisation?
I think partly it's just involving people who have a desire to make things better, and we see that in practically every community organisation. I guess often that arises from a particular challenge or issue. I've seen it, Healesville's a very diverse community, and I think we've been here now for 32, 33 years.
You're almost a local, Kath.
Well, that's another interesting thing, because I think that is a bit of a saying, you know, you're only a local if you've been here for so many generations. But what I've found is, you very quickly become a local when you get involved. It's not really about who you are or how long you've been here. It's what you do in the community. And I've seen that so often. Some of our most active community leaders are actually people who have migrated to this area.
Very wise words, Kath, such as Lindsay sitting next to you on my Zoom screen here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off there, Kath. I might just go to Karen, and we're going to open up on the very topic that you're talking about a little more in a moment. But to you, Karen, the Yarra Valley community radio community is different again because it's an online community. It's partly physical in terms of volunteers and presenters like myself and Cora here, but it's also an online community that we're trying to generate. Yeah, just be interested in your thoughts about that different community and the characteristics.
Yeah. Well, we're always focused on the community that we broadcast to, of course, and we want to involve those people and service them the best that we can. But we also do have an internal community to Yarra Valley FM, which is sometimes hard to really make those connections because we're all a bit like ships in the night. You know, we've got probably 18 hours a day that people come in, do their bit and go home again, and we might see one or two or no people in the station when we do that. So, of course, it's been very hard to get together for members' meetings that we usually do, you know, at least every 6 months or more. So we're itching to have one of those. It's not quite the same. You know, when you're trying to get maybe 20 people, as a Zoom conference really doesn't do it. So
no.
We're really looking forward to getting together. But, you know, we have emails between us, and certainly the committee has built a really good bond, and we've got more people involved than we have for a while, more people with skill and heart for the community and the radio. And so we feel that we're really starting to launch forward into having a really great foundation that we can really build something important.
Thanks. You're listening to four champions of community, Kath Gannaway, Karen Fox, Megan Buntine and Lindsay Frost. And we're going to explore some of those in a deeper way straight after this next song, which, of course, we've got to think about Melbourne Cup because it is sneaking up. And let's take it away, Slim Dusty.
There's a bustle in the city, there's excitement in the scrub, there's a drone of rowdy voices in every Aussie pub. For a year we've all been waiting and we've put our money up, and we're out to back the winner of the famous Melbourne Cup. There's a pause in all production, for our minds are on the race, and it's time when all our worries are forgotten for a space. And the women cease their talking, turn the radio well up, and with whip and spur they're waiting for the starting of the cup. And the TABs are crowded as the punters rush and push. They've held a sweep in every pub in city and in bush. Then a mighty cheering follows as the barrier goes up, and there's a thousand jockeys spurring every racer in the cup. The first Tuesday of November, every year it is the same. Every Aussie heart is beating with excitement of the game. For they bet on dream or fancy, or the forms they've followed up, from a dollar up to thousands on the famous Melbourne Cup. There are millions who have never even sat upon a horse, whether it be yarding cattle or racing on the course. And it's doubtful if they'd even know the way to saddle up, but they take a lot of beating when they're racing in the cup. Now the famous race is over for another whole year. There's a lot of smiling faces and there's others shedding tears. There's a battler made a fortune and a wealthy man hard up, but win or lose, they're waiting now for next year's Melbourne Cup. Oh, that's right. There's a bustle in the city, there's excitement in the scrub, there's a drone of rowdy voices in every Aussie pub. And a battler makes a fortune and a wealthy man hard up, but win or lose, they're waiting now for next year's Melbourne Cup. There's a bustle in the city, there's excitement in the scrub, and a drone of rowdy voices in every Aussie pub.
And this morning here on Community Conversations, we have four champions of community, Kath, Karen, Megan and Lindsay. And we're trying to capture within this hour, what is the essence of community and how can we make it stronger? So let's get a little nostalgic for a moment and go back to when Lindsay and I were boys or something. Lindsay, what has changed with community over the last, 20 years? We've obviously seen the advent of online communities, chat groups, et cetera, et cetera. What immediately, I'll open that up to the whole panel. Any thoughts around how community has changed over the, pick a number, the last 20 or 30 years?
Well, look, one of the changes that I've noticed, and it's quite evident up here as well, is that there's been a bit of a shift of gathering to places of places of eating and drinking, if you like, over the home. And it's only a partial shift, but you see it now that there's a lot of entertainment points around the place that where you can just easily gather. You know, it's not as formal as it used to be, and you can get together in groups, or at least you used to be able to up until about 6 months ago.
other thanks, Lindsay. Other thoughts?
Oh, no, pass on to others.
I think there is a consciousness about buying local, certainly for environmental factors and to build community. And so I know our family personally, we really seek out the local producers and try and purchase over going down to the mainstream shops, you know. So, you know, just things like local fruit and veg growers that have just delivered to my gate this morning, a local business that's doing a bulk food thing, you know. So I get a lot of joy out of connecting with people through that way.
Kath, it used to be said, perhaps still is, that it takes a village to raise a child, and that sense of community, everyone looks out for each other, you know, safety and belonging and those sorts of things. Do you think that has changed significantly over the years?
No, I don't think it's changed much at all, really. I think obviously our towns in the Yarra Valley have changed. We're a very big focus on tourism now. And, you know, we often hear people say, oh, you can walk down the street and you don't see anyone you know. Well, you only don't see anyone you know if you're not engaged, I guess. And I think that what really comes to the fore is we can be, there are some negative things about, you can hear a lot about of negative things, but when we really come to the fore is when people...
That's a canine community we can hear in the background there. Go on, Kath.
Yeah, it's when people are in need, when an individual or a group or a community is in need, you find that people really step up, and that's when it, you know, that's when it can be seen. There are so many examples of that, whether it's an individual family. I've seen it often when someone's house burns to the ground, people just step up straight away, and they're there for them. So I think it's easy to focus on the negatives sometimes, but you don't have to look too far to see all the positives as well.
Lindsay.
I'd add something to that as well. I think being a new entrant up here, one of the things we've found is we have to add about or allow about 20 minutes extra when we go shopping. just stop in the street and talk to people. Down in the city, that just doesn't happen.
Yes.
And I think that is just one of the wonderful things about being up here. That you just, and even people you don't know will stop and talk to you.
Your thoughts, Karen?
Yeah, like Kath was saying, that certainly when adversity comes to an individual or a family or even a whole community, people do step up. It's just a pity that we shouldn't need adversity as catalyst. And so the stronger we can become in good, easy times, the quicker that can come together when things are tough.
Megan, I'm interested in the notion of leaders in community, and Kath's already alluded to that in terms of walking the street and so on. But in terms of, shall we say, development of community leaders, and obviously I'm looking to your Rivers and Rages community leadership hat, but where do we go to see that sort of development or to encourage the development of community leadership?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting thing to think about, because often the people that engaged with Rivers and Rangers and participated in the program, initially they didn't see themselves as leaders. These are people who are doing grassroots thing, just getting on with whatever it is that they do and that they're passionate about, and they don't necessarily see themselves as leaders all the time. So I think getting people to recognise that what you're doing, what you're contributing to the community is really important, and you are, setting an example for others, putting yourself out there so you can support others, or, you know, engaging with people, participating and contributing to that overall enhancement of what community is in your area or whatever your sector is or whatever you do. So I think if we think about leaders in terms of the grassroots stuff and the quiet achievers, if you like, so it's not necessarily the ones who are out there pumping their chest about their cause, but the ones who are just getting on and doing things quietly. And there's, you know, you just scratch the surface and you'll find those sorts of people everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Sadly, not every community succeeds, and we've seen communities that fail, organisations that fail, groups that are not functioning so well, not doing so well, and of course, in some ways, these COVID times have accelerated or exacerbated that. What is it that causes, you know, that sense of community or those community groups to fail, to not function so well? Just open it up to the panel. Any thoughts, Megan?
It's something, I think, particularly at the moment, a lot of people are really fatigued with what we've been through this year. I was just having this conversation with somebody yesterday and she was saying the same thing. She's finding it really difficult to get motivated. And this is someone who's really engaged and really passionate about what she does. And I think, you know, the rest of us mere mortals are feeling the same way as well. So I think that's, you know, given the times that we're in at the moment, that's certainly something that is contributing to why groups are not operating at the moment, obviously. But the question hangs over a number of them as to whether they're going to have the energy, if the members are going to have the energy and the drive to be able to continue as things start to open up.
Karen?
Yeah, I think no matter what mission you're on, we've always got to value the people above everything else. And so relationships between individuals and in groups are so important, to the point where you become friends, you know, and that's what holds it all together. People that volunteer and give their heart to help someone else, sometimes it's almost a disbelief. Oh, thank you so much for what you've done for me. And it's not that you want to pay back, you want them to pay it forward, you know.
Fantastic. Kath, I think you were going to share. Were you going to share something about Hickey and My Little Kitchen that you were involved in recently? I was just wondering that.
Funny you should wonder that, Bruce. we've been involved through the community bank. We've been involved with Hickey for quite a while. What I've found, we do a number of sponsorships through the year, and I'll just start by saying that when we approached some of the people who we usually sponsor who are not having events this year, there was this automatic response, well, we don't need the money. If you can support your local businesses with some of our sponsorship money, we would be really happy with that. One of those things was we provided Hickey with a grant, a sponsorship, and pay forward. So they paid it forward to My Little Kitchen, who make up meals, who then pay it forward to people in the community who needed that assistance. And it's just that connection that goes round and round. And I think our focus has been in this past period to try to support our local businesses and to promote local businesses, even to the point of just being there and being open and providing a place where people can almost pop in.
And that goes to your point, Karen, in terms of buying local, supporting local businesses ourselves, and we can all do that and put the challenge out to you, listeners. You know, rethink about where this Christmas, as we lead up with only I think 9 weeks to go. You know, spend some of that Christmas money in your local communities. Let's go to another song. It's appropriately We Belong, and we'll come back and I'm going to throw some more challenging questions at our community panel. And after the 11 o'clock news this morning, Luke and Cora with their regular Art Journal program they'll be talking to Alison Carriage, who works in the National Library of Australia in Canberra, about their zine collection, the National Library of Australia zine collection. So there you go. Make sure that you tune in after 11 o'clock for the regular weekly Art Journal show with Cora. For now, we have a community panel, a panel of community champions. We have Kath, Karen, Megan and Lindsay here on Zoom, zooming into the studio, and we're talking all things community and some of the challenges of making for stronger communities, resilient communities, and I'm going to throw a couple of more difficult questions at the panel now, because obviously they're coping too easily with my questions. So let's talk about COVID and the ramifications, the impact on community. I mean, there are people, aren't there, who have been very lonely, have been isolated, and perhaps through all of this have not felt that they had any community that they really belong to. Perhaps, Karen, they might have been listening to community radio at least, but other than things like that, they have been quite isolated through this. What would you want to say to people who might be listening this morning feeling that they're actually a bit disconnected from the world, from the Yarra Valley community, from the broader community? Karen, your thoughts in particular.
Oh, one word, volunteering. You know, if they've got any ability whatsoever, even if they think they don't, put your hand up and say, where can I be useful? And so that's such an easy way to connect with people, because people love you when you're offering yourself as a service to the community, and you'll make friends and you won't be lonely anymore.
And there are so many community groups, and we've had the pleasure of interviewing many representatives of those groups on radio over the years, and we are so fortunate, aren't we? Let's go to you, Kath. You know, there are so many of those groups out there.
I think you're right, Bruce. You can volunteer, and there are any number of organisations that would love to have more people on board. It's a challenge for some people, and I think my mind has been going mainly, in some ways, to the young people in our community, for whom their friendship group is so important to them. A lot of these, coming from a large family, I have an automatic friendship group. They're my sisters, my brothers, and extended family. A lot of kids who come from perhaps the two kid families, their friends are so important to them, but they haven't been able to be involved in that group, I guess. And also the social media aspect, I think that's, it's been there for them. But that human contact for young people, and I wonder how they are going to recover from this. Mm. Getting them to get out and volunteer is the big challenge. You know, that's something I don't think we've solved. How do you get young people involved?
Sounds like a good idea. A good idea for another panel, I reckon. There, Kath, just in the waiting. Lindsay, let's go to you. I'm putting you on the spot with this one, but I know through these challenging times, you've also established a little consortium of volunteers who are a kind of a vineyard community. I'd be interested in your how has that happened? We don't have time for the 10-minute story, but just the 1 minute take on. What does that little community look like?
Okay, well, Bruce, you're more than just a little bit intimately familiar with the with the makeup of the group, because you're part of it, of course. But the idea was a hobby that got out of hand. So one of the things coming up here, I mean, I it's no secret that I don't mind the occasional glass of wine. Added to the attraction of coming to the Yarra Valley. But I thought, well, why don't I try making a little bit of my own to not go into the 10-minute version. Ended up taking on a 3-acre vineyard, which, sort of puts a hobby on steroids. And the only way we could make it work is to get other people involved so that we could attack the labour requirements of it. And what I found is a heck of a lot of like-minded people who also don't mind a glass of wine and were more than happy to get involved so that they get some wine out of the
So a good outcome. A very good outcome there, Lindsay.
Well, it has been, although COVID has thrown up some challenges as well. But fortunately, we are a primary industry, and the consortium members are allowed to get out to the vineyard and do some work.
Let's go take that thought a little step further, that making a strong community, whatever shape, whatever form that is in, does have a cost to it. It doesn't just happen. Whatever the community group, the organisation, the part of the community that we're talking about, it does have a cost, doesn't it? What is the cost of making for strong community? What is that cost? Anyone?
It's time. It really is. You just got to be prepared to put the time in.
So beyond volunteering, Lindsay, you're thinking a commitment to being regularly involved?
I think a great from my point of view, a great example is the Lions Club, which, you know, I'm very familiar with the setup and scope of it. It's just a great little group of quiet achievers that work hard and diligently no tangible recompense, if you get what I mean. I mean, they do it because of what they're able to generate. And they put sort of, you know, $80,000 to $100,000 a year back into the community from their efforts. And they're just all volunteers.
Fantastic.
And that's what I meant about time. If you're prepared to put that time in, you will reap great rewards.
Thank you, Lindsay. Let's go to Kath and then Megan. Kath, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'd like to add to what Lindsay said about the Lions Club and what it does provide for those people. I'm a regular at their op shop and I've been missing it tremendously. When I go in there, I see people with a purpose, and I think most of them are older people. They've probably had a very good working life, but they're actually working, and it gives something back there. And I have to admit, I've forgotten the original question, Bruce.
the cost that goes with making...
Yes, of course. And my second thought on that was a lot of these things can't operate without money. And I've been really impressed with the way Yarra Rangers Council has worked in that regard. They provide some really good grants, some good funding for events and things like that. It's not roads and garbage and drains for them, but I think those sort of, they don't get enough accolades for what they put back into the community in that way. And I'm involved with quite a few organisations that have had the benefit of being able to provide community events because of that funding.
Great reminder. Thank you, Kath.
Yeah, you look at things like Culture Tracks. I mean, what a fantastic facility to have in a community of our size.
Absolutely.
Yeah. To you, Megan, the thoughts on your thoughts on the cost of making a strong community?
Yeah, I once heard the wonderful Alexandra Gartman, when she was the CEO of the Foundation for Rural and Regional Renewal, say that it's about you're contributing your time, your talent, or your treasure. So it's about just going along and volunteering, doing whatever you can to help out. Or contributing your treasure, so actually providing donations, financial support to enable organisations to do what they can, or your talent. So what is it that you're good at? Is it that you're an accountant and you can help out with the bookwork, or that you're a governance tragic like me and you can go along and help guide the committee through doing the sort of things that they need to do, or whatever your area of expertise is that you can contribute. So I think there's a range of ways that we can support our community groups and in ways that they need our support.
We're going to give the final word to Karen. Putting you on the spot, Karen, you're the, well, one of the amazing people on the committee that are overseeing the Radiothon here for Community Radio, which is currently right on. We've got just one more day. Well, finishes tomorrow. How's it going? And for people who are listening who have somehow inadvertently missed the essence of the Radiothon, what are we trying to do, and are we getting there yet?
So really, it's about putting feelers out into our community to really see who values us out there. So, you know, sure, it's a fundraiser, but it's more than that. It's to really see who's listening, because we really have no way of knowing that. You know, on the FM band, we don't have any stats, and, you know, it's a bit of a mystery. So we're finding that people, we sort of dig up people that have been listening for years and love the station but have never told us, you know, and that's a wonderful thing to discover. So, you know, if you're out there and you're listening, and you've never told us how much you love us and how much you value us, kick in just a little bit to put towards a special project for the station, and let us know you're there.
Fantastic. And that all the details for the Radiothon are available on our website. You can become a subscriber, as I have, just for around about $20. So there you go. Let's have another song, and it's Everyday People, Sly and the Family Stone. Well, the hour's going very quickly with my panel of community champions this morning, Kath Ganaway, Karen Fox, Megan Buntine, and Lindsay Frost. And we have been talking all things community. And I'm wondering, as our time rapidly runs out, as we come out of COVID restrictions, and we've all been part of Zoom communities and online communities over the last weeks and months, what is it that we'll take away from this lockdown period, this time, that we can add to our community strengthening toolkit? In any thoughts about that? What is it that we can take as an advantage from these lockdown times? I'll throw that open to the panel. Anyone that wants to add some thoughts? Karen, what about you?
Certainly with the travel restrictions, sourcing locally is something that has strengthened and should continue.
Yep. And what about you, Megan?
I think recognising how much we can actually do when we're not immediately with each other. So we can still do a lot of stuff from home, whether it's having conversations like this where we're all online, or, doing things behind the scenes. There's still plenty that we can do even if we can't be together.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Bruce, I think we just need to take a look at the way things have been and take the positives out of it and keep them. I've already made a resolve that I'm not going to be running down the line every second day. There's no need for it. And, just to focus more locally, but also to take things at a bit of a slower pace and, just take advantage of what we've actually had as a positive from this.
And perhaps a little more balance or something, Kath. I'm putting words in your mouth.
Exactly.
But
yeah, no, that's exactly it.
And for you, Lindsay?
Oh, look, I think I just reinforced what Karen said, that do things locally. You know, just shop locally, get involved locally.
Mm.
That's what strengthens it.
Yep, and also too, it's not just about what we buy, but it's also just because we've spent more time at home, we start to look around and go, who is it that lives around us? You know, who can we talk to, you know, perhaps at a distance over the fence? You know, those people are really more important to us than we realised. And when the chips are down and you can't go far, they're your people.
Fantastic. Well, you've been listening here on Community Conversations on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 to our panel of champions talking about community. We have, we've been trialling this morning. We'd be interested in your feedback as an idea of a different way of approaching some of the challenging topics of our time. So please give us that feedback. And if you've got a topic perhaps that you would like us to interrogate, then we would love to hear from you as well. Karen, we are going to go back to you. We're going to give you 15 seconds to tell everybody why they should be a part of the Radiothon, because we left that out before.
Okay, well, there's a whole lot of prizes to be won, and there's some really good odds of winning them too. So we've got a $2,000 prize pool of a really mixed bag of wonderful things. Go on our website, yarravalleyfm.org.au, and check them out. And also, just remember that the businesses that have donated those prizes are great and support them.
Fantastic. And we are out of time. So a big thank you to Karen, Kath, Lindsay and Megan for your time this morning and for making community come alive. Thank you, each and every one of you.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, Bruce.